Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast. Follow, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Spotify users, make sure you rate, write a review. Today we got a serious show. We're going to try to lighten it up. But I got Danielle and Don Holland on the line. They're victims of Darius Williams.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, man?
Danielle. I appreciate what you're doing, too. I appreciate the transparency. I appreciate you guys being vigilant. I just appreciate the energy. And I know it probably takes 5 minutes out of your day to send a tweet off and be like, hey, we got to get this guy out of here. So it's not like you're not working or anything like that and missing the
kids. Yeah, I know. But that's what, you know, leave it to people. They think that my whole life is just consumed with just tweeting all day. They don't realize that it just takes a few seconds to try to take down this scammer and doxer of black women. You know, I don't dedicate my whole 24 hours a day to this.
People know that, but people are just trolls online. But let's not even get, that's a whole other conversation for a whole other show. Walk us through your introduction to this person, Darius Williams.
Okay. Introduction would be, I started following him maybe like in the height of quarantine. I think he showed up on like my Explorer page or something, you know, on Instagram. And
right,
I watched a couple of his, you know, videos or cooking videos or something. I thought he was, you know, entertaining and engaging. And so I followed him and, you know, we were on lockdown. And it was nothing really else to do. So it was like, oh, this is a source of entertainment. He would go live, you know, four right. or five, six times a day. So I would catch his lives and, you know, he'd just be on there talking about a bunch of nothing. But we had nothing to do. So it was like, okay, well, I guess I'll watch this guy. But it just didn't take me long before I noticed, you know, certain like traits of him, that like the rudeness, the condescending talk to his followers, almost, kind of like, it kind of like his follower section and comment section would be like high schoolish. Like if somebody said something they didn't agree with, he kind of would like stick them on each other. And, right. you know, they were like, we don't talk about that over here, or don't ask him those type of questions. Or Darius, you need to block this person. You need to block this person. And so I was like, well, that's kind of odd. Like, you know, that's kind of rude the way he talks to his followers and the way his other followers talk to new followers. You know, they would say things like, oh, you must be new here. You don't know how things work here.
Right,
this is wild. And so not long after, I started to notice people coming on his lives, you know, saying, hey, I emailed you several times. You haven't responded to my email. Or I purchased this. I haven't got it yet. And, you know, his response will always be, oh, just reply to your order confirmation. Just reply to your order confirmation. But I started to notice, like, a pattern in it. And I'm like, why are these people coming on his live if he's, like, a business, you know, corporation and he has all of these products? Why are they, you know, like, this guy doesn't have a customer service team or somebody.
Wait, so they were in the comments looking for their shit in the comments.
Yeah. Yeah, and then a lot of times people block them. You know, he's like, this is not customer service time. Don't come on here with that block. And I was like, wow, that's wild. And so he started to go private on his lives. And his explanation for that was like, oh, I don't want those, what he calls Arabian trolls. He was like, I don't want those Arabian trolls to come in here. And I was on several lives where like foreign accounts would come in and start commenting and requesting to join his live. But, you know, he kind of played it off as a joke, and we kind of, I thought it was funny as well. You know, no lie, in the beginning, I said, oh, right. wow, this is crazy. He even went live with a couple of them. Like, they were, like, in Pakistan or something, a different country. And I'm like, what is going on with this? But it didn't take long for me to learn that his, what he calls Arabian trolls, are bots that he has bought. So they are coming on his live and commenting, so he's going private to try to keep them out. But he was also going private, which I understand is against the terms on Instagram. Like, if you're like a public account like that, you're not supposed to go private while you're live. But he was also doing that to keep the traffic down of disgruntled customers coming on there and asking, where is my money and my products?
Right.
So going private was kind of a dual reasoning behind he's trying to keep his, you know, purchased followers out of there. And he's also trying to keep the riffraff down as far as, you know, people asking about products and refunds. So, yeah.
Right, right. So what he was doing is, because people who's following him, obviously, just supporters. But if he's live, somebody will be like, hey, he's live. People who's not following him will then go in the comments and be like, hey,
exactly.
Man,
you have to be following him to be able to get into his live while it's private, while he's live. Exactly. So it was strategic on his end. But, you know, he's a mastermind at spinning things and creating narratives. So, you know, he just wrote it off and he gives the excuse that I go private because I don't want those Arabian trolls coming in. And they laugh and giggle and say, oh, how Arabian trolls, that's so funny. So, you know, he writes it off as that. That's his reasoning.
Oh, so you weren't a victim of one of his...
No.
Okay, because I'm like, why did you...
I actually was not.
Okay,
yep, okay. I actually was not a victim. I've never purchased anything from him. And I thank my, you know, like, spirit of discernment for... you know, not allowing me to do that. I saw some things that he was, you know, selling at the time. I think it was just like cookbooks were like the major thing when I started following him that he was like heavily into. He then progressed to the pound cakes, the Carolina pound cakes. And then at the tail end of me following him, which is when he started, when he doxed me, he had progressed to the cookware. But I never supported him. I started to see people comment on his live saying they're dragging you over on Twitter. What's going on with Twitter? You know, I kept seeing Twitter being mentioned. Right. And I said, well, what is going on? You know, I had to go over to Twitter and dust my Twitter account off. I hadn't been on my Twitter account in probably like 5 or 6 years at least. So I kept seeing people saying, you know, mentioning the hashtag Darius Crooks. And so I said, okay, let me go over here and see what they're mentioning about this guy, you know, because something had started to just, you know, I had a lot of red flags. That was right. The bottom line. So I went over there, typed in the hashtag Darius Crooks, and I was just astounded at the things I started to see. Then I started to see people saying, you know, LSA, LSA. I'm like, what is LSA? You know, Lipstick Alley. So between the hashtag on Twitter and the hundreds of pages regarding Darius on Lipstick Alley, I mean, it just solidified everything that I was thinking about him. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like, I'm thinking, like, am I the only person that's noticing these lies and the hypocrisy and the contradictions and the condescending tones? So when I went to those, like, media outlets and saw what people were saying, I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one. Like, this guy's been doing this for a long time.
For all intents and purposes, he's getting away with it. And his brand is growing.
Oh, right. No, you know, his, you know, what Darius does is he conditions his followers. You know, he almost in a sense brainwashes them. He spends so much time on live with them. The first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning, laying in his bed shirtless before he gets up, washes his face, brushes his teeth, anything, is hit that live button. So a lot of these women, you know, and he's very strategic in how many times he goes live a day and at times, because he's trying to cover every shift that these women might work. Right. He's got a morning shift. He's got an afternoon shift. He's got a late night shift that he's going live. And for some of these women, he's the most consistent male figure maybe in their lives, you know, and right. He knows what he's doing when he ends his lives. He says, I'll call you back.
Make it very personal, get them emotionally invested.
He makes it very personal. He uses the words we a lot. He uses the words transparency a lot. He uses the words community a lot. And he uses the words family a lot. He knows what he's doing. He wants to make them feel like they're inclusive to his daily life and his decisions. I think he, a few couple of weeks ago, he didn't go live for like a day and they had a fit. He said they were emailing him, messaging him, where are you? What's going on? We need our daily fix of you.
Wow. It's so interesting.
Like, I've literally seen grown women. I've seen grown women begging him to take them and take his phone in the grocery store while he's on live. They're like, please take us with you while you're on live. We'll behave. We'll be quiet. We promise.
Wow. I guess you call them, what do you call them? Cook-offs or dinners? Dinners with Darius?
Oh, yeah. Dining with Darius. Yeah.
They're all like southern cities. And I don't know if that's because of his proximity or is that if that's because of the audience.
Yeah. I think both. I think because of the proximity and I think because of the audience, you know, then he uses, if there's a term that a family friend of ours came up with called faithing it away, right? Meaning he uses faith to cloud, you use your faith to shield your dirtiness and wickedness. So that's what he uses. He uses that. He's going after that Bible Belt / demographics of women.
Chitlin Circuit.
Yeah, bingo.
Yeah, he does a lot of church talk,
Yeah.
So that's exactly what he's doing.
And that would only work.
Yeah, he definitely has a very specific demographic. And if you look at the videos from his dinners, I mean, you'll see. He has a certain demographic. He knows his audience and he plays to it well. He knows exactly what to do. He knows what they want to hear. I mean, he plays them like a fiddle and they eat it up.
And I'm sure the occasion, the Dining with Darius occasion that he do in these select cities is probably the highlight of the year, the most that many of these women probably see or do.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's absurd to me to purchase food that you cannot consume for a whole year.
It's kind of like repast food.
And you know, he does that on purpose. It's been brought out, you know, to our attention as of late that he strategically sells those dinners so far out because he knows that if he decides to cancel that they will have no legal recourse as far as a refund or anything regarding their bank because they can't fight anything after past 60 days out. So he does that for that exact reason. And when he's questioned regarding that, like, why are you selling these dinners so far out? He'll give the reasoning of, oh, because it's just so many moving parts and it's so much planning. That's how he's going to excuse it away. But it's the reason that he knows that if something happens, he doesn't have to refund them 60 days after.
Right, because with every bank, you can't file a claim after 60 days.
Right.
So how did he attack you or get you on his radar?
So he officially like doxed me. What was it? February 16th. But I have heard and seen videos and things that he was mentioning me, my first and last name, back in July. So I've been on his radar or something for quite a while. I guess he knew my first and last name then. I mean, like I said, months before he even doxed me. So what I had been doing was joining what we call on Black Twitter under the hashtag Darius Crooks, like the coalition to bring awareness to him. So I was using my Twitter page anonymously. And, you know, people would like to say, oh, well, you were hiding behind a page. Yes, because I've seen what he does to people. I've seen how he doxes people. I've seen how he threatens people. And I've seen how his followers go after people. So in terms of that, yes, my page was private, anonymous, rather. And I was tweeting under the pseudonym or Twitter handle like LeoLady1942, and I didn't have a profile picture. So, I mean, basically for months, what I was doing was just, you know, retweeting and, you know, just helping to amplify the situation regarding him. That's all I was trying to do was bring awareness to it. But for some reason, I don't know, it struck a nerve with him with, I guess, the cadence that I was doing it and the persistence that I was doing it. And I guess I was just really striking a nerve with the facts that I was coming with. And it wasn't just me, obviously, you know, it's a whole lot of people to credit to what's been going on with him. But I'm saying I was kind of like a needle in a haystack. It's hundreds of people on here doing this, and he was fixated on me for some reason. So he found pictures of me, rather, and that's not even the main issue. You know, people are like, why is she so mad? All he did was post pictures that you have on your public Facebook page or something to that effect. I'm not per se mad about him posting pictures of me if he wants to come at me. My issue was that he put my underage children in this situation. Okay.
Right.
So I'm on Twitter just like a normal day, you know, telling, now I'm going to get into how, you know, the day he doxed me, February 16th, I'm on Twitter just like a normal day. And I'm scrolling down, you know, scrolling down the timeline or whatever. And I see pictures of myself, my children, my husband, and I see a tweet with him with the caption, you know, tell Danielle Holland, we said hello. I'm like, what is going on? You know, like I was just in disbelief when I saw it. And so, you know, I look at further tweets because he didn't have me blocked on Twitter. This is how I was seeing all of this. So I'm seeing his further tweets, you know, and I'm just like, how should I address this? You know, do I come out and say, hey, that's me, what are you doing? Or do I kind of like act like I'm not me? And do I say, you know, what are you doing to that woman? Why are you, you know, putting her personal information on there? So I decided to approach it, you know, acknowledging that it was me. And so I said, what are you doing? Why are my pictures, my children's pictures on your Twitter? And so he responds and says, you know, oh, Danielle Holland, so it is you. And I said, yes, it is me. Like, what is going on here? And the whole time, I'm not like mad. Like, you figured out who I am. My whole time, I'm like, I said, take my kids' pictures off of your Twitter. And then he starts to say things like, you know, tell Don Vaughn, you know, my husband, tell Don Vaughn we said hi. And where are you tweeting from? He proceeds to name like three cities that I've lived in. Then he says, he starts to say, wait till this background check that I have on you comes out. And then I said,
and let me guess, the Chitlin Circuit is like egging him on, like, get her.
Oh, yeah. They're egging him on. They're saying things like, that's what she gets. Because, you know, of course he goes live after this happens and right. He has my name pinned. And he's saying, we figured out who, look, we, once again, we figured out who she is. And they're like, good, that's what she gets. She's crazy. She's obsessed. Her husband needs to leave her. Like, the comments I saw were like, and then when somebody said, but you have her underage children posted, and he says, so I don't care. That's I don't care. That's what they get. So like, yeah, they're egging him on. They're in the cheering section. Yeah, go Darius. You got the person that's one of the person, you know, people that's been harassing you. So then I say, well, what would you need to do a background check on me for? I'm not trying to be employed by you. And then I said, so if you're talking about doing a background check, you're implying that you have my social security number. And he says, there is no implication. I do have your social security number. Screenshot that. Then he changes his Twitter picture to my picture, and he changes his Twitter name to my first and last name.
He
posted the same things on Instagram, but the difference on Instagram, I don't know what his angle was, why he did that. Maybe he thought he was going to receive a lot of backlash. When he posted the same things on Instagram, he turned the comments off.
Right.
So people were commenting on his Twitter page like, Darius, who is this person? Why are you telling us to say hello to them? You know, and right. I my husband wasn't really fully aware of what was going on with him, you know, with everything. And I had to call him and let him know what was going on because our children and him was involved now in it, you know, and they're not a part of, you know, anything that I was doing to try to help expose him or whatever. So, you know, Don would, you know, tell his part. But basically, long story short, you know, he's like, shut your Twitter down to try to avoid any further harassment because, you know, they're going to start, you know, making threats to you and stuff because that's what his followers do. So I shut my Twitter down for a few hours and I wake up in the morning to someone sending me a screenshot of his Instagram post saying, that's how you clear a bitch out.
Wow.
His whole intention was malicious behind what he did. He wanted to threaten me and he wanted to shut me up. And that's what he thought he did, hence that post that he made with that caption. And he's done nothing but make me, he hasn't shut me up. He's made me talk even louder and go even harder. I have the same energy that I've had, if not more, since he did what he did to me, which is, you know, dox me and my family.
Yeah.
Don gets a whiff of it and takes it to the next level.
Yeah, so I didn't know who or what Adarius Cooks was until February 16th, right? So she would joke from time to time about specific chefs, but I didn't know who the hell this guy was. So she calls me and she says, you know, we got to issue this celebrity, this chef doxed me. And I'm like, what the hell does dox mean? I don't know what it means, right? I didn't know what it meant until February, until literally that day. So when I got home, I'll admit I was irritated. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, what? Why are you even going back and forth with this guy? You know, like, what is this about? You know? So I told her, shut everything down. And then, because I'm like, all right, well, you know, my first instinct was like, I want to like legit, like do something to this guy. Like legit fuck this guy up. Right? Like for real, fuck him up. Like, I'm like, all right, you know what? I got too much to lose. You know what I'm saying? I got a business to run. You know, we, you know, I got children, household. We got, you know, it's just like, I had to really think what to do. So what I did was I told her to shut everything down. And I'm going to tell you, man, I had to master self-control at that particular time, right?
Right.
Because at that moment, that guy did not really know how close he was. He was very, very, very close to something happening. But I had to think logically, right?
Right.
So about 2:30 in the morning, I decided, I'm like, you know what, let me log on to my Twitter. I hadn't been on Twitter in 5 years, right? And even then, I wasn't sending tweets. So I got on Twitter, I posted a picture of us, and I says, hey, this is Don Von Holland, husband of Danielle. You posted my wife. You posted my children on the internet. Please call me. We need to discuss this. And I put my real telephone number out there. And I had 313-330-4992. I told him to call, right?
Right.
I sent a few tweets. This is around 2:30 in the morning, right? So then I get up that following morning. First of all, we didn't really sleep because I was hot, man. I was like, man, I want to fuck this guy up, man. I'm going to kill this nigga. But I had to be cool because, once again, that business,
right?
Multiple lives depend on me. I can't do anything, right?
Right.
So the next morning, Danielle shows me the Instagram post. That's how you clear a bitch. Okay, right? So then he goes live. So I'm watching his live. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Someone has sent Danielle a video or something like that. And the video with him on live talking about, yeah, I spoke to her husband. We had a conversation about what his wife was doing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, I ain't even talked to this nigga, right? So I sent my second or third tweet, which is the video that went viral, me saying, you mentioned my name, you post my children, you post me, you post my wife, and then you mentioned my name. I'm like, you said that we had a conversation. You got a vivid imagination, right? I said, my phone has not rang. It's rang, but it hasn't been you. Please give me, I invite you to call me. And I was like, oh, by the way, this is a forever problem, right?
That viral term. That viral hashtag.
So that's when that hashtag went in that video, I think, went viral. Might even be at like 250,000 shares or something right now. I don't know. I mean, I never went viral a day in my life, so I don't know. But so that's how the phrase was born. But this time, I mean, I had to master, even to this day, I've flown off the handle a couple times on Twitter, but you know, you all bets are off when you're dealing with children.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You lose it. You lose it when you're dealing with children. I always said that I would do 50 years for my children.
Right.
Like, period. To this day, I would do years for my children. That's just it.
Right.
You know, however, I had to really master anger, man. And When I said what I said, videos were going viral. He never called me. And even then, if he would have called me, it probably wouldn't have went anywhere. So I'm really glad that he did not call. I really, at the time, it's like, look, let's take this offline. Like, what are you doing? Let's speak man to man, adult to adult. Let's talk about this situation. But that never did go anywhere. So now we're here. So now, you know, in time, it's like, okay, well, how do we fight this situation? You know, what do we, how do we turn to negative, a negative? How do we take a positive? How do we take a negative and turn it into a positive? What do I need to do in order to turn this ship around to try to even like fight this battle? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, when people, people started reaching out to us and asking, you know, of support. And, you know, one lady had actually stated that, you know what, I have a brother, I got a father, I got cousins. I don't even feel protected. You know, I feel protected because now we got Don Von Holland to protect us, you know.
Right.
So I've become this guy that's you know, protected his family and that's protecting, you know, black women or whatnot, or women in general. And I think what has happened is that now, I mean, we continue. I mean, he does have a forever problem. I'm not stopping until he's deplatformed. So I'm using all my resources, everybody that I know, because I'm a resourceful guy, to try to get him deplatformed. As far, you know, so there's a lot of work that's being done behind the scenes that we're doing, you know, on a legal level and on a government level that I'm trying to really work to do. So,
and let me ask you about that too, because I don't know too much about law. I work in TV and film, so I don't know about how the internet law works. But I remember a case that because it is the internet and because it's across state lines,
yeah,
it changes things. It makes it harder to, right?
But the thing about it is that it does make it harder, but it is federal. So on a local level, there's been some things that's been done. I mean, the news, Randy already, Fox 5, already reported that there's a police report. It's in the prosecutor's office. They've already determined what charge it is. And what level of the charge it is. Now it's the prosecutor's determination to either pursue more charges, right, or to go for one charge or go for a lesser charge, right? So that's where it stands right now, right?
But
because of the nature of what he has been doing, you know what I'm saying? And this is nothing that I'm not, this is, I mean, everybody could, I believe Randy may have shared the police report. I don't know if the police report number is on there. I don't think that the general public can get an actual report itself. I don't know if they can or can't. I know I can, right? But so there is some things on that level that's being done. But I think what's happening is based off of the cadence of illegal things that he has done, that I'm, while I'm getting into the fat meat and learning everything about this guy, this dude is fucked up, man, with his practices. You know, just his illegal practices, just the way he handles and manages money. You know, just the way he scams people and the way he's, you know, how he's doing these women, man, and just his business practices.
And, you know, in terms of that, to piggyback off of what Don is saying real quick, one of his favorite things to say on his live when he's confronted or questioned about people who he's wrongfully done business-wise, he says, okay, now mind you, he's talking to an echo chamber because he's on live. It's basically a one-sided conversation, and if you disagree with him, he's going to block you. His favorite thing to say is, okay, if I scam so many people, where are all the victims at?
Right.
And then he does that long pause. Well, Darius, they're on your block list.
So he's on the block list. So that's the thing. I mean, so I'm like, man, we gotta figure out what to do, man. So there were, it's just not just us. I mean, everybody is running their own thing concurrent. I mean, everybody that's fighting him, fighting this battle, is supporting, is everybody that's fighting this battle. I believe that we support each other. We run in concurrent. Everybody has their different ways and different ways that they're fighting this. I know that what we're doing over here, and I'm using, I mean, I got a lot of connections and contacts that I'm trying to do. I mean, I'm not just, you know, selling wolf tickets and going back and forth on the internet about this. I mean, we're really putting in the work. But as far as with what we've done, you know, with our plan with, you know, the forever problem, I mean, we started this organization because, number one, you know, forever problem kind of became that's a clock that's beeping in the back. It'll stop in a second. All right. But we started this organization mainly because I'm like, you know, people started talking about this phrase that I said. But then people were like, well, you need to put that on a T-shirt. You know, that should be a hashtag. You know, you need to put that on a T-shirt. I mean, I literally got that. So I'm like, you know what? No, because I don't want to look like we're trying to monetarily gain off of something. Right. But we kept getting asked for it. And I'm like, you know what? If we do it, it's got to be towards something that's good.
Right.
You know, and it's got to be for a cause. What is the cause? Well, the cause was I personally didn't know what doxing meant. Right. And I never had really been cyber bullied before. And it all intertwines with being harassed. So I'm like, doxing, cyberbullying, and harassment. Those are the three focal points. Let's spread awareness by doing that. First phase of it, okay, if the people, I made the phrase, the people wanted the phrase on a T-shirt because they made the hashtag. I'm like, you know what? Let's give it to them. But we're only going to do it unless the profits are being donated to charity.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
So I researched myself two charitable organizations. The plan is to actually move about to different charitable organizations. So I researched two charitable organizations. Cyber Smiles is one of them. The other one is the Movement for Black Lives, and one of their targets is ending the war on black women, right?
Right.
I'm like, so I went to both charity organizations, and both charity organizations, now with me understanding how this whole charitable process works, they said, okay, you know, no charitable organization is not going to take your money. That's first. Right. If you donate money, they're going to take your money.
Right.
So both charitable organizations said, you know what, that's fine. However, at this time, we're not looking for other charitable partnerships, right?
Right.
I says, okay, no problem. We're still going to be donating funds to your charity. And both said, obviously, they said, no problem. So we donate funds, proceeds, the Cyber Smile and the Movement for Black Lives targeted ending the war on black women. When you purchase a T-shirt or a sweatshirt, there's a donation being made in the specific person's name, in their name, right?
Right.
And then what happens is that they will then get a receipt from that particular organization in their name, right?
Oh, so
then,
if I purchase a shirt,
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So when you purchase a shirt, you get a receipt for your purchase of that shirt, of the proceeds, of that donation, of the proceeds from that particular organization. So if you say, for example, if you spend $30 on a shirt
right
now, you will get a receipt. You will get a donation that says your donation from Cyber Smiles, blah, 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 in the amount of the proceeds, right?
Right.
Then what we do is then me and Danielle, we then match that charitable, your charitable donation. That's what we do. right?
Right.
For each purchase, and everybody gets a receipt. It's not a receipt that we fabricated. There's nothing we possibly did.
It's an auto-generated receipt. Huh? It's an auto-generated receipt from the organization.
Yes. And I'm CC'd. I'm CC'd on that particular receipt as well. I then respond and say, here is your receipt from that particular organization, blah, blah, blah. We have matched your particular donation in the amount of so on and so forth. So everybody that has purchased a piece of product, they have their receipts that particular organization.
That's dope that you took something, you took trauma, okay, because your family's information is out. Your kids is all on the internet streets. We don't know who's looking at these pictures and who, you know what I mean? And you took something that was supposed to break you and that traumatized your wife and traumatized your family and had you on alert. You took something negative and you turned it positive.
And exactly.
That's and you know how prevalent child trafficking is,
Of course, yeah.
And
especially Darius, in the Midwest.
Yes, and Darius still has our children's pictures on his Twitter, our underage children, and he refuses to delete them. Mm-hmm. Twitter refuses to delete them. Mm-hmm. They said that it's nothing they can do. They received hundreds of reports, and they said it was, you know, concerning, but they will not delete the pictures.
Wow.
And Darius was on his live the other night, shirtless, talking to a 12-year-old boy.
I saw that.
Offering to buy him gifts.
I saw that. And the Chitlin Circuit was in the comments saying, how sweet.
Yes, Darius, this is why we love you, and this is why you're blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. So the moral to the story is, now, you know, naturally, we're literally 6 weeks into this thing, right?
Right.
So we moved. So the thing about it is that the sweatshirt has the term doxing on the back of it, right?
Right.
So I wear the sweatshirt. People are like, what does that mean? I'm like, well, this is the definition. I mean, it outlines the definition of doxing. We're spreading awareness, right? So now we're trying to literally determine. I mean, I've been in meetings with you know, people that I know that's in the city of Detroit. We're trying to figure out, okay, what do we need to do to get this information in high schools? You know, what do we need to do to get this in charter schools and stuff like that? I met with...
You're trying to educate others on doxing.
Because I'm trying to literally educate, you know, what this actually is while fighting the battle against Darius. While on a daily basis, this guy was literally assaulting us over the internet on top of his minions.
Yeah,
right.
Taunting us.
On top of some of our alleged supporters that have turned non-supporters now.
Are you the only one of the victims that have a husband? Because it seemed like people were mad at you for...
Yeah. People seem mad at me for that for some reason. I don't know, you know, what the deal is with that. They, you know, they're mad at me also because Darius, they believe everything that Darius says. They portray me as a harasser and a stalker because that's what he's conditioned them to think.
Right.
They're not independent thinkers. They lack critical thinking skills. They take whatever he says and they take it as that's facts.
Right.
And what bothers me is that he continues to perpetuate the narrative of me being a harasser and a stalker of him. But if you're a celebrity chef that you claim to be and you are a multimillionaire, I have yet 6 weeks later to receive cease and desist. He has not came with any facts. He likes to say that I was stalking and harassing him, but he has not shown anything of me in his inbox, in his comments, in his DMs, because I've been blocked by him on all of his platforms.
Right,
yeah,
right.
So let me jump in right here real quick. So he's saying harassing and spreading awareness is two different things.
Right.
The problem is that Danielle was very diligent in spreading awareness, right? With facts. You know what I'm saying? That's like, what's the saying that Jay-Z says? Men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Right.
So These were the facts. These are facts. There was nothing fictitious about the information that she was being provided. That was out there. These are actual facts, right? So the thing about it is when you have receipts, the receipts are facts, right? So the problem was is that his anger was he was being exposed. So she harassed me for 9 to 10 months.
Right.
No, what she was doing was exposing you behind the scenes for fear, number one, that you would do exactly what you did today. And then number two, if you found out who she was, who any of these people were, you would block them from your network because why? You don't want to be exposed.
Right.
So that's what's happening.
And what's so comical about when you say about me having a husband is Darius literally thought that he was getting me in trouble with my husband.
Yeah.
You know, I have the videos that were sent to me when this first happened and people were like, oh my God, what does her husband think about it? Does he know? And he said, yeah, child. I talked to her husband. I told her husband everything that she'd been doing. And he said her husband needs to be concerned with her mental state. So he's getting on this echo chamber live. And when I say live, I mean L-I-E-V-E, because all he does is get on there and lie.
Right.
And lie. And he's creating the narrative that I'm just some mentally unstable person. And somebody, and it's ironic because this is coming from somebody who weaponizes mental health. But he uses it at his convenience. You know, when shit gets hot up under his ass, then he wants to play the mental health card and talk about depression. And he wants to play the religion card and the sympathy card, talking about how his mom didn't want him. Mm-hmm. It's like clockwork. Those are his go-tos. And his medical
also,
records.
Also, that's why he's victimized black women and targets black women.
Yes, he hates them. And he says, well, if I hate black women, why is that all I'm around? You know, he has severe issues towards black women. His mom did not want him. You know, he has said that if his mom passes away, he wouldn't even go to the funeral, much less pay for it.
That's fucked up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's that thing that, you know, the phrase that's going around, everybody likes to yell, protect black women until it's actually time to protect black women.
Right.
Like, I've been going around amplifying and screaming from the top of the mountains about this predator in the black community, and no one wants to hear it, you know. And then I saw some live a couple of weeks ago. He was like, yeah, she was on Twitter yelling, protect black women, until she got exposed, and now she don't care about y'all no more. I said, what? That statement made no sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So with this whole thing, it's been extremely hard to stay in a positive mind state. Because again, the easiest thing was to do was just to fuck him up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I literally just fuck him up. That was it. That's it, you know, but I'm like, you know what? I gotta turn this ship around. You know, what do we do? So, we have an internal plan on what we're doing, in regards to what the foundation is. And here's the thing: it's funny how when you start a foundation, you know, white folks can start a foundation. Something can happen to white folks, and they start a foundation. Perfect example is a billionaire by the name of Dan Gilbert here. I met a couple of times, and he's real accessible here in Detroit. Dan Gilbert has a son. Where's that thing at? It's sitting over there. His son has an illness, and the illness is called NF. It's NF. It's almost like a muscle disease, and his son was born, and Dan wanted to do something about it, you know, and so he started this organization, and he's raised over $30-40 million, right?
Right.
Obviously,
right.
I'm not like Dan Gilbert, but you know, but the point is that I mean, I know multiple people, a colleague of mine, his son, it has extreme autism. they started a foundation, right?
Right.
My children and my family has been put in harm's way. I start a foundation. I'm stealing money.
Yeah, they're like, right. Congratulations, good job for starting that charity. If that person does it, oh, where's the money going to? Yeah. What are you doing with this? Why are you doing this?
I think the moral to the story is that our goal is to deplatform this guy, right? And actually, here's another thing. We got into the fat meat of this on a local, like, there's really no process to report cyberbullying other than it being reported directly to, you know, your Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, right?
Right.
So there's no, like, on a local law enforcement level, you walk into a police station, they say that they have a internet crimes division, but it's really not an internet crimes division process.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And perfect example, there was a person that they had a situation where it happened to them, they filed a police report. They went to the Detroit Police Department, and the Detroit Police Department said, we can't do nothing with this. Sorry. But we were able to get it at the level where it's at within the police department. So it's like county specific. So it's like we're actually writing process for it, right, as we go, because there's no process in the local law enforcement level. There's a process on a federal level. Literally, the process on a federal level is just submitting an application online on FBI.gov, and then that in hopes of an agent respond to you, and then you just get like a tracking number and you track it, and then you got thousands of people that's reporting this, so there's really no process in place to fight or to do anything like this. So these are the things that I'm looking at in regards to how I would like, you know, our organization to kind of focus on to try to, you know, fix this problem, and then actually come up with a deplatforming process, not for just this idiot, but just other idiots moving forward.
So what happened again, right?
Sadly, since doxing is technically not illegal, you know, it gives people carte blanche to feel like they can dismiss it. And I saw a lot of rhetoric regarding that after the Fox 5 Atlanta news coverage aired. And if you saw it at the end when Randy Travis was talking to his co-anchors, and they said, well, Randy, that's terrible what happened to these people, but is doxing illegal? And he said, no, it's not. So that gave ammunition, sadly, to Darius' followers. They're like, okay, that's fake news. What's the big deal? Okay, they said themselves that doxing is not illegal. So why are y'all tripping? Why are y'all coming for this black man? Why are you trying to ruin his career? What he did is not illegal. You know, the mentalities and mindsets of a lot of these people that I come across is disheartening.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, Randy may be speaking on the level of the information that the other departments down there. Every police department, every agency has a different process that they do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there's really no process in place. So it's like, okay, I mean, I've talked to, you know, people at Homeland Security, you know, and this falls under the guidelines of Homeland Security. It's funny that it does. It's funny that it would, but it does actually fall under the guidelines. And then even in the Department of Justice, I'm speaking to people about it, you know? So it's like, okay, what is the process? So we are in the process of writing process, but I think within the past 6 weeks that we've gained a lot of ground in regards to trying to figure out, you know, how to fight this, put this process together and push the envelope of the cause.
We're going to continue. We're not going to let up. We stand by what we said as far as Darius having a forever problem. Yeah. I get a lot of backlash from people saying, why are you devoting so much time to this? You're crazy. You're this. And like we were saying, you know, prior to us getting on the podcast, that it only takes me maybe accumulation of an hour a day. That's probably what I'm doing, you know, between all of the tweeting that I'm doing. and I'm not giving up. And what I would have to say to any DYs, if they are listening, who criticize me with the time that I spent doing good things and wellness, and they spend hours a day on live watching him lay in the bed shirtless eating snacks, but they see nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But they take problem with me taking my time to try to help deplatform him and to bring awareness, but they see nothing wrong with their time spent ill just watching him lay in the bed and spew lies all day and gossip. So.
Right. And then they mad at you because you have a husband that's defending you who's.
Yeah, which is absurd. I have a great husband. I'm going to take the time right now to acknowledge him. He's been amazing through all of this. He's been nothing but supportive. And yes, I have his backing, and I should. He's my husband. The same, I would have his back. That's what marriage is. I can't, you know, help that they don't have a spouse or somebody that would, you know, back them up the way my husband does. That's just not my problem. You know, right. That's unfortunate, but I have nothing to do with that.
Right. You know, and I'm going to use my platform. I'm continuing to use my platform. As I was telling Don earlier, I'm going to use my platform to spread awareness as well. And it's not about taking a black person down or a business person down. It's about making sure what's done is right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And again, no more victims and spreading awareness. If this guy wakes up tomorrow and be like, I apologize for everything, and his action shows a year down the line that he's been clean and not shady and not, you know, exploiting women and children and 12-year-old boys, we'll be off his back, right? But until he do that, he needs to be deplatformed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because this has been going on for years. I mean, at least a decade. His scams, he has a litany of scams. They span over, like I said, a decade. I mean, there's no way we even began to scratch the surface within this podcast of all of his scams and failed businesses and shut down businesses. I mean, you know, and there's so much information out there. People can Google, they can go on the hashtag. They can, you know, if you Google him, nothing but negative things come up regarding him. Yeah, literally nothing but negative things.
Just to give a quick about what he's doing. I mean, he's at the end because, you know, these Dining with Darius thing events, you know, he's going city to city in one of these Airbnbs, you know, selling tickets and serving alcohol or whatnot. And on a local level, he has not gotten the proper license, food handling licensing in the local level, nor has he gotten the approval from the health department to have these dinners, nor are they COVID safe environment.
Nor are they in his name.
Nor are they
that's the rental.
Right. Right. A COVID safe environment. You know, you got, you know, and they're not practicing safe serving or whatnot, because I mean, literally, I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, you see the lady dumping her cup, her hand in the sangria bucket. You know, that everybody is literally sharing out of this sangria.
Yeah, and then at the end of the night, he has raised the prices for the 2023 cash grab grift, is what I'm going to call it, to $289 per person. And they have to take food home from Tupperware that they supply themselves. And they're taking food from the tables. They're taking leftovers that everybody has took food from. They don't even get freshly prepared food to take home. It's literally whatever you didn't eat at your table, they put it on a table, put it all together, and at the end of the night, you can take your Tupperware over there and grab your food to go home.
And these poor sisters don't know they can take that $289, go have them a great meal in Nobu somewhere.
Right.
Right. You know? Right.
Or another. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, he's
praying. He's praying.
He's got this vibe. You know, he's got the music going. He's got the laugh. He's got the, you know, he's very charismatic with the smile, the teeth, and the music. And, you know, he's got that, you know, and he's got just regular food. He's doing trumped up repasses.
Right.
That's what they're doing, you know. So, but the thing, my sole focus is on deplatforming this guy and coming up with a plan to move the envelope forward, to come up with a process and a cause to stop other individuals from literally doing the same thing. And the first phase of it is he's the first project.
Right.
I mean, he's literally, I said it in a video that he is a daily action item on my calendar. And I literally have him as a daily action item on my calendar, in my calendar. So it's like every day I'm doing something in regards to this to make sure that we don't lose sight of it.
And that he doesn't do it to nobody, doesn't happen to nobody else, and that no one else is a victim, right?
Darius is not going to have that energy for a man, you know?
Right.
He keeps that hateful, you know, threatening, malicious energy towards women only, you know? And that, in that certain situation, had a woman said, call me or something, he probably would have picked up the phone. He would have been recording it. That's what Darius does. Everything is for engagement. The messiness, the cattiness, the doxing. At the end of the day, for him, it all equates to followers, views, and engagement. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't really care about the majority of his followers. He looks at them, you know, they're dollar signs for him. It's a cat. Everything he does is a cash grab. And it's just crazy that, you know, he talks to women the way that he does, and they accept it. And it, like I said, he's conditioned them because they know that if they question him or, you know, challenge him, that they're going to get blocked. And in fear, they want to be a part of his community so bad that they're just like, I saw a comment on one of his lives and somebody said, Darius, you do a really good job at telling us what we should and shouldn't say.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. Thirsty. Cool. I'm sure they don't. And, I hate to make it about
this. For a gay man. I mean, they're shooting their shot and they're running up on him and they're, you know, doing all of this and you don't have a chance, sis.
Right. And I'm sure that they don't have, they're not married women, right? Like these have to be Madea type of women.
I think some of them are married. I've seen some in his dinners, which I think they are primarily, you know, women there, but I have seen some with, you know, some of their husbands are there, but I've seen a lot of videos and footage of the dinners with the husbands that they really don't look happy. They have this look on their face like, we paid $400 to come here and do this and eat this.
Right.
And they're under the guise, they're under the impression that Darius is a celebrity chef. You know, they're like, oh, honey, we're going to this dinner. I bought these tickets. We're going to see the celebrity chef. Their husbands are looking like, who is this dude? This dirty black t-shirt on and these dusty pants on, walking around with a phone in his hand. That shows how much he thinks about these people, the money they're forking over, and they're coming to see him. He's on live the entire time the dinner is going on with his phone in his hand. I've seen footage of him ducking off while they're, you know, packing up their food. He goes and lays in the bed and he's on the phone on his live.
In their own Tupperware, might you might
add. Right. Can't even provide carryout containers for these people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The moral to the story is that, you know, my thing, you place my family in harm's way and you got a forever problem, man. So,
a forever problem. And where can we get those shirts?
There's links on our Instagram to the actual Shopify. And also I have the link on my Twitter page.
But on Instagram, it's, what is it? A underscore forever underscore problem. So we're selling them through Shopify.
And I'll have all that information located in the description of this episode. Thanks a lot, Don and Danielle Holland. I'm definitely going to be circling back to you guys about updates. You know what I mean? Because again, I'm going to use my platform as long as I have my platform and my reach to make sure that we do the right things. You know what I mean? And
that's awesome. Thank you.
And shout out to you, Don, too, for, you know, again, sticking up for your wife, protecting black women. Kind of being the face of this, not just a forever problem hashtag, but protect black women hashtag. We got to see more of this. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. It's tough.
Yeah, because I know it was brave of you to, because you guys are professional people. You guys have careers. You guys, you know, you guys living good over there. So I know for you to put yourself out there like that, it took a lot of courage because you don't want your colleagues and your clients to be like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? So I get it.
Yeah, no, that's true. But a few, luckily I'm in a position, you know, where, you know, I run my own business.
You're a boss.
Luckily, all of my clients, I have great relationships with them. As a matter of fact, a couple of my clients got the sweatshirts. And I'm talking about my Caucasian clients.
Okay. That's funny. But, you know, it's for an amazing cause, because, like you said, it's going to charity. And it's a message wrapped in there, too, as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Put it negative and turned it into a positive.
Correct. So shout out to you guys for that. Shout out to you guys for being a beautiful Black family, a beautiful, loving Black family that support each other, that stick up for each other. And who knows, we'll probably circle back to this episode or February 16th, 5 years from now, and there might be some laws on a book that was, you know, accelerated by the Hollins, you know what I mean? So, again, thank you for tapping in with ASAP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.